Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Lamborghini was originally a tractor company. Samsung was a grocery store. LG was a facial cream, and IKEA was a pen. What's the lesson? Your current situation doesn't have to be your last. Stay strong, keep testing, getting 1% better, and remember, the great things often start from humble beginnings. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into hour two of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We're going to discuss alternate uniforms. We have the highlights from Raiola's Holgorsen's press conference, working on the ones from Raiola's press conference and the like. All right, it is the noon hour, and that means lunchtime. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show here on The Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue, with two numero dos locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker, and at 61st and Apples Way, just off Highway 2. One more note, we'll have one monthly remote at Mulberry Barbecue's South location, and our next one will be here in the near future. All right, Jake, what's been the feedback so far on the alternate uniforms? Like, I'm looking for two parts to this. Number one, how do we feel about alternate uniforms in general? And then these specific alternate uniforms. What feedback have we gotten here on the text line?
Yeah, OG Les Lancaster says, I don't doubt the All Blacks will look good, but it seems like anytime recruits come and visit, they like the All Reds. Eric says, don't care what the jerseys they wear. Hell, send them out in pink. Tutus for all I care, just win. Similar thought here. From Adam says, I don't care if they play that game in polka dot jerseys and boots as long as they win. And 1508, it says, most important thing for the USC game is hopefully it's cold and windy.
Ooh, I like that. Cold, cold, and colder. Welcome them Southern California boys to good old Lincoln, Nebraska in November. Let's make it nice and Eskimo cold. Like a fart in a skillet. Does that work? Does that make sense though?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just wanted to say fart in a skillet. I like that saying. So alternate uniforms. I've said this two or three times over the past decade. Every couple of years, I'll express it again. So for me, alternate uniforms are fine. I almost liken it though. Like if you're one of the cool kids at school, you don't follow the trend, you set it. So to me, I look at like a Texas, an Alabama, a Michigan, Ohio State, and sometimes, you know, Notre Dame's got those green jerseys, but that's almost iconic. They just don't wear them very often. So I wouldn't even know that that's an alternate uniform for them because that's something they've done for years. They bust it out every so often. So that's a part of their tradition. I almost liken alternate uniforms, and this may be an unpopular take, and I'm fine with that, to trying to be like the other cool kids at school. When you are the leader, you don't have to change who you are because you are the leader. You are, quote unquote, the cool kid at school or whatever, which is why you don't see a whole lot of like the Blue Bloods we talked about yesterday, you don't see a whole lot of alternate uniforms with them. Exceptions would be like Oregon. When you're given green and yellow, which is literally throw-up colors, I don't know what else you're supposed to do with it. They took throw-up colors, and they made a million different ways to have actually some pretty cool alternate uniforms, and their alternate uniforms is their identity. So to me, that's an outlier. Maryland's got kind of the NASCAR thing going on from time to time. They look like a NASCAR uniform to me sometimes. I don't know if that's ever really caught on. So for me, that's kind of how I view alternate uniforms in general. You look around at the well-known college football teams and blue blood brands and the big brands, they don't tend to change a lot because you don't follow everyone else. They follow you. And that's my take. Now, do I hate alternate uniforms? No, I don't hate them. Am I a fan of them? Not necessarily. I'm looking at these right here. Like, I don't have a gigantic dog in this fight. This is just my opinion on this. It's something that came out this morning. A little bit of a hot topic. Okay. Like, this is not a ginormous deal to me. But since it just came out, thought I'd offer my opinion. It'd been a couple years, so here we go. All right, I prefer to stick true to what we've done traditionally. I know things evolve and change over time. I completely understand and respect that. But I always liken it to leaders lead, followers follow. And the alternate uniform thing to me is kind of like following a little bit to a degree. Now, the texter said it the best. At the end of the day, I mean, I would never send them out in pink. But if you go out in pink and you win, nobody's really going to care. Go out and beat USC. This is a team that in their own rights a little feels disrespected by the preseason polls. They're not even top 30. And you got guys like Josh Pate who think they're top 15 when it comes to their talent and Lincoln Riley, and hopefully they can just keep getting better on defense. So go out and beat an iconic brand and a really talented team and an offensive-minded coach and Lincoln Riley. Get a big win in November. The game's to remember, are played in November. That's also starting now with the college football playoff to bleed over into December a little bit. Get the win. That's all that really matters. This is my opinion. It's not something it's not some hill I'm going to stand on and fight and die for. I will say this. I look at the uniforms they've got. They're basically all black. Okay, the helmet has a black stripe down the middle with a black N on the side. If you're going to get me on board with an alternate uniform, make it as black shirts oriented as possible, and I'm way more likely to buy in. That is just my bias running wild, and I'll be open and honest about that. I liked what Nebraska looked like growing up. Things do evolve and change. For me, that's still some of my favorite uniforms is what I watched growing up, and that's what I personally prefer. Not a gigantic deal to me, just my preference, but I do like anything that's black shirts related or seems to be black shirt oriented, so I'm a little bit partial to these particular alternate uniforms. What do the texters say? What say you, Jake?
Just a few more thoughts from the text line. Scott in Minnesota says, I think the blackout game is a great idea. The uniforms are mess, so not as excited for it. If you haven't seen the uniforms, they're basically Nebraska's normal uniforms, just blacked out. So there's nothing crazy change. I don't even see anything necessarily black shirt related this time. It's just a black N.
Which makes it black shirt related. I'm just saying.
I mean, all the others is black. I'm just saying the black shirt logo.
All I see is black shirts.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We've had the alternates with black shirt logos before. I'm just saying. Old Dad 34, why do we need an alternate uniform? Make that make sense. They didn't do it last year, obviously. So there's that. Scott in Minnesota says pink. Pink out would be a good for cancer. Breast cancer awareness. That's usually in February, I believe. So
October.
October, is that okay? October.
I would wear pink stuff in October in the league.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be an idea there. As far as me, it's funny because there's so many different angles for a different uniform that come to my head. First of all, huge Halloween fan. My favorite holiday of the year. This is obviously the day after Halloween. I think that all is part of the idea with the blackout. I think it's not only going to be, people in the stands with black on, but also a lot of Halloween costumes. So I think that will make for an interesting environment for USC to walk into. The black shirt tradition, like you said, kind of an ode there. But then there's, again, different angles here. Adidas, over the years, they've tried too much, people would say. They have a bunch of ugly uniforms. Well, here they did not a whole lot. They just changed the colors to all black, and there you go. So I don't think it's something that people can debate about too much. But the biggest thing to me is, for years and years and years, after about, I think it was 2014, the UCLA game, they kind of seemed to schedule these alternate uniform games for games they perceived to be W's. And so I think that's interesting that this year they decided to take full on, go against USC with the black shirt tradition standing out going into that game. And notably, obviously, USC is one of the better offenses Nebraska's going to play this year. So they did not duck the competition with alternate uniforms this year. They're going into it with one of their toughest offenses coming in, highlighting the defense. And again, like I said, the Halloween party portion of it's going to be fun too.
You make several good points. I would say probably the two, there's about three offenses we're going to face this year that I consider to be really good offenses. We're not going to face a ton. You never know who's going to pop up and surprise you, that being said as well. But I think the two best or most talented is USC Penn State. So I love that there's actually a black shirt angle to taking them on. Now, is the game a blackout game?
Yeah, they're calling for a blackout as well.
I was not aware of that. That actually, I'm not going to lie, that changes how I view it. Because if you're going to have a uniform that matches what you're doing with the fans, I like that exponentially more. In my mind, it was just, I don't want to say just. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of Nebraska wearing alternate uniforms, okay, in general. But if it was just an alternate uniform game, I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. You know, just win the game, and I'm not going to say a whole ton of, but there's not a hill I'm going to die on. I have my opinion, but it's not a big deal to me. But if you're kind of doing a blackout thing, and everyone in the stadium's wearing black, and then your team's wearing black, and they're known for offense, the defense is called the black shirts. Dude, when hell's bells rings at the beginning of the game, can you imagine what that atmosphere is going to be like?
Well, keep in mind, the sidelines now are black, so the opposing team's going to be stepping in there.
Much more on board with this now that I know it's a blackout game. Yeah. I was on board before because I want to support the team. Like, I actually really like this now. Now that I know it's a blackout game, hopefully, if it's a night game following Halloween, I thought that was a phenomenal point. I did not look at the date of the game. I just knew it was first game in November. I actually really like this now. I don't want to say I've completely flipped because I wasn't completely against it, but I have flipped. And I'm actually very much looking forward to this. Black uniforms, black game, a blackout game. I hope it's at night following Halloween. I want to see some crazy Halloween uniforms. I actually really, really like this now. And I think one of the things that I do like about these specific uniforms, other than it makes me think black shirts. I know there's nothing specific black shirt on it, but it makes me think black shirts.
Sure, absolutely.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Is that it is basic. Here's what you'll find about me. Like, when it comes to uniforms, some of my favorite uniforms are some of the most basic uniforms you'll find. I like Penn State. Nothing on the helmet. You look at, like, Nebraska was not overly fancy over the years, okay, especially when I was growing up. I tend to like things where it's fairly basic, but parts of it are outlined and tend to stick out to you. Like the Washington Huskies, that gold helmet with the purple W and then the white around it. There's nothing crazy about that, but it just pops. I actually like Notre Dame's uniforms. Again, two of the helmets I've mentioned don't even have anything on the helmet. Okay? I'm going to say this next thing, and then I'm gonna deny I ever said it because nobody's listening. I actually don't hate, other than the burnt orange, just the all-white Texas uniform. Again, basic, iconic. Those are the things that I actually like. Now, I didn't say that. You will delete the recording of this forever. And that never happened. Now, there's one outlier to this. I've always kind of liked the Florida Gators, which is not basic. And there's a ton that goes into their multicolored uniforms. That's the one outlier to me. I respect what Oregon's done with their uniforms. It's never really been my thing. They've turned it into their thing, and a lot of people love it. And that's why I brought them up earlier. Florida Gators has kind of always been the outlier to me. I've always, for some reason, liked that. The cursive gators on the side of their helmet or whatever has always kind of stuck out to me. All right. Anything else from the text line there? I've actually, like, I love the post-Halloween, which was a great point by you. I love that it's a blackout game. We don't know the time of the game yet, do we?
No, we do not.
I hope it's at night. Dude, if it's at night. Not just for the cold weather. Just, this would be like Penn State has their whiteout games at night. Like, this could be our blackout game. Like, I love this now, actually.
Well, okay. They've tried these blackouts before, and they haven't always been perfect, I suppose. You know, not everybody is aware of it, so it's kind of half red, half black. So hopefully we can get Husker Nation on board. Scott in Minnesota points out that people have a lot of black winter gear. So if they close this, you know, to November, whereas if you did it in September, which I think they've done blackouts before, maybe you'll get more of a response there. So we'll see. Waverly Jim says the same thing, completely pointless if it's not a night game. And Kabari had Joseph had a pretty good point on YouTube that to me says, man, boring and unoriginal. That's not necessarily the part I like, but he says, looks like exactly like the ones Iowa State wears. Iowa State has somewhat ruined the blackout uniforms because they wear them all the time.
Yeah.
They're not their school colors, but they think that's their best look.
It really doesn't make any sense when they wear them, by the way, and they overuse them. And basically, if you're trying to mimic anything Nebraska does, I just think it's awful and terrible. I'm just going to put that out there. All right. We have got some press conferences to react to. I will say this. If the defense is playing well leading up to that game, it will add to the excitement for that particular blackout type game. All right. Dana Holgorsen, press conference. Here are some of the things he talked about. Hammers the routine plays over and over. They lead to big plays. If you're really good at what you do, it's like what I mentioned earlier. Inches add up to gigantic yards over the course of a game and over the course of a season, especially if you're really good at what you do and you can do it really, really well. It becomes hard to defend. Defenses have to adjust, and then they become, first of all, you can get big plays from them if you're really, really good at it. But then they're going to have to, I don't want to say overcompensate, but they're going to have to adjust to defend it, and that leaves them vulnerable in other areas. All right. Says he knows what Dane Key, Ja'Cory Barney, and Isaiah can do. Freshmen are progressing at the wide receiver position. Ja'Cory Barney is one of the, first of all, he was rated the number two true freshman in the entire country last year, grading out wise when it came to Pro Football Focus. Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State was number one, so that's really good company. Vincent Shavers was actually, if you remember this, rated, according to Pro Football Focus and their grading system, the number one true freshman linebacker in the entire country a year ago. Obviously, people have high expectations for him. He started two games a year ago and looked really good in the bowl game as well. All right, I'm curious to see what freshman wide receivers can step up. A lot of people, including me, are going to have eyes on Cortez Mills. Talks about Dylan's leadership is astonishing. The play is great. He is making throws Dana has never seen before. Dylan's out-of-pocket play has improved greatly. So it's been a lot of heavy praise when it comes to Dylan Raiola this offseason. This is a guy who's insanely talented. They talk about how smart he is, how hard he works. I've talked about what my expectations are for him this season. Not even my expectations, because more of my goals. Again, some sort of all-conference honors. I've said anywhere from first, second, third team to honorable mention would be a good improvement from a year ago. I feel like DJ Lagway, who was a freshman a year ago, Julian Sain, obviously he's with Ohio State, who was the number one quarterback in Dylan's class by the time the final rankings came out. They're all getting talked about a lot more than Dylan nationally, which is, again, I want to fly under the radar and then I want to just go play good football on the field. And I hopefully we're so good that it's undeniable as far as being a ranked team anyways. When you hear this positivity from Holgorsen, from Rule, when it comes to Dylan, what's your reaction? What are your thoughts? What do you think are fair expectations for him this season?
You love to see it again. He's taking on kind of more of that leadership role. I love especially the talk there, you know, the talk about sustainable drives and you know, those kind of basic plays, because, you know, we all fall in love with the highlight plays, the scrambling around and sidearming and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, those are you hopefully don't have to go to that too often. And maybe it's good for one or two extra plays a game, maybe can extend some drives or whatever. But the basic sustainable stuff is what's going to overall win games, as you were pointing to. And it's fun to talk expectations because, from the minute he stepped on campus, he had the world expected of him. I thought you did a good job of kind of tempering those expectations, especially for our freshman season. And so I'm kind of in the same path of you are, where it's take that step up, continue that progress to where when you're an upperclassman, you are expected to be among the nation's elite. And so you have to be kind of getting into that conversation this season and throughout it. So that's what I hope by end of the season. Doesn't necessarily have to be right away, but by end of the season, if he's, you know, kind of a top 15, 20 quarterback in the nation, that'll put him in pretty good positioning with some of the guys outgoing to be a top 10 quarterback going into next year. And then again, of course, if you improve from there, you're in the discussion for all the awards and bringing your team up. So that's kind of my expectations, but we'll see. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how crowds react to him. We know that was kind of got to a talking point at times last year. If he struggles a little bit, you know, how is the reaction going to be, as you know, from the coaches, from his teammates? I think all that's going to be good. Clearly, they've kind of put him at the front of the program. But then you think about those games where he might especially struggle. You think about Adrian Martinez throwing four picks against Purdue and not getting benched. Would you have a similar situation with Arola? Hopefully we don't have to see that, right? And I don't necessarily think we will, but you know, you just got to be prepared a little bit in case you do run into the unexpected.
So when you think about Dylan, and I've said it before, he's going to be defined by fourth quarter play. Nebraska's season is going to be defined by fourth quarter play. Nebraska, I really believe, is going to have a lot of one-score games. The first three games, I hope not a one of them is a one-score game, and I hope they're obviously all in our favor. Those last nine games, there could be a lot of one-score games in there. And how we do will be determined on fourth-quarter play. If Dylan, let's say, he's honorable mention all Big Ten. So that kind of means he's, what, the fourth-best quarterback in the Big Ten, so to speak? So there's going to be four quarterbacks out of the SEC. First, second, third team honorable mention. So that's eight. Well, those are by far the two best conferences in America. So let's say the Big 12, the ACC, they have five quarterbacks that are in the conversation with the quarterbacks from the Big 10 and SEC. And considering the Big 10 and SEC have the best football, I think, you know, maybe five combined from the other two that are on that level of play would put you at 13. And maybe in the G5 ranks, there's two more. So what I'm getting at is if he's just honorable mention all Big 10, he's probably one of the top 15 quarterbacks in America. Am I being too generous with that, or is that reasonable?
I think that's fairly reasonable. Obviously, that can change, you know, dynamics here at times. Big Ten doesn't always have the best quarterbacks, quarterbacking performance, and we'll see. This year, it's really up in the air because there's a lot of new guys, the guys coming with high expectations, but not a whole lot of proof.
I think sometimes that's based on there's better defense played in the Big Ten. Run game is more oriented because of cold weather as well. I mean, you look at the Big 12, it's the most entertaining conference to watch because the team, their parity is so good. The offenses are so good and the defenses aren't great, maybe outside of Kansas State. So that kind of helps, you know, skew it a little bit. But let's say,
are you saying Ethan Kaliakmanis would light up the Big 12?
Heisman.
Love to hear it.
He'd win the Heisman. You know how often I had to practice trying to say his name just to get it right that year we played Minnesota? All right. Let's say he's a top 20 quarterback. Let's be conservative. Sure. 15 to 20. So 17 in the country. I'm telling you, a lot of Nebraska's direct success is going to be connected to how he plays in the fourth quarter. We're going to be a quarterback-driven offense, okay? And if he's a 17th best quarterback in the country, we're probably a top 25 team in the country in that 8, 9, maybe more, 10 win range, somewhere in there. And so that's kind of why I come back to that. I also feel like it's very realistic. All right, well, we got to go to break. We got more from, let's see, Holgerson's press conference, Donovan Raiola's press conference. Okay, and there's going to be a couple players as well. So when we come back, by the way, Quentin Ives is back on the practice field. Okay, so that's a good thing to see. And he even mentioned, Holgerson did, all right, that, let me see, they've been running a lot more two-back sets. And when he praised Mekhi Nelson last week, I think it was a little concerned, maybe that go to his head, but he said Mekhi's continued to practice well. They're running two-back sets as well. We will come back and finish our reaction to Holgerson's press conference. We kind of glossed over Dylan Raiola. Let's see. His out-of-pocket play has greatly improved. To me, the deep ball accuracy, the reads, and the feet were the top three things. His out-of-pocket play really wasn't, it probably would have been fourth on my list when I listed the things back in January he needs to improve on the offseason. That excites me, but I think with him, It's just being more decisive once he's out there. If I can run and get 8 yards, take it and slide. Okay, unless I need 9, then run the guy over, you know, on a third down situation. If a guy's open, hit him in the flats. I felt like it was a little bit of indecisiveness at times. Just be more decisive. And he actually runs better than people think. Early on in the season, he took off a couple times. He moves better than you think. I'm not saying he shoelaces. Okay, Denard Robinson, shoelace. But I'm saying he runs better than people think. There's times he just needs to be more decisive. And if he does that, it'll look faster. He'll play faster. And his out-of-pocket play will be exponentially better, honestly, just with doing that. Now, being more decisive and doing it quicker isn't the, you know, that takes time and experience. But when we come back, we'll get more into Dana Holgorsen's press conference, Raiola's press conference, and the like. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.